Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed. It is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is that.
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan, it's the time of year where the Mickey Mouse Network, they've done this the last couple of years, they do 24 hours of fantasy football, which I actually believe is ending now as we start the podcast. So, some of it's interesting, a lot of it's incredibly lame, but you know, you've been doing fantasy now for a few years, and you kind of got thrown right into the fire. You didn't have the opportunity to build up. You got shoved right into a 20-team league and said, okay, that was it. Here you go. Last night I was listening to a little of, and I can't remember which expert this was, but he was going on and on saying that there's absolutely no reason to draft a quarterback before the 10th round. So that puts, I don't know what, you know, not 180 players ahead of the quarterbacks in our leagues. And my guess is this guy's not in a 22 league because he probably wouldn't be saying that. But are you waiting 10 rounds to get your starting quarterback?
No, not at all. I mean, with us, like you said, 180 picks, it's kind of far off.
So, yeah, I was just kind of, you know, amazed by the strategy. Obviously, you know, he's the expert who gets paid for it. I don't know deeply squat, but I'm guessing the more I listen to him, he was talking about a 10 or a 12-team league where you can actually sit and wait on a quarterback, but imagine if you tried that in our league and you waited to the 10th round. You know, I mean, I'm sure you would get a starter, but it definitely would be where you would probably wouldn't want to play.
Well, no, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, sitting around with 10 teams, only 100 picks, so it wouldn't be that hard.
So, yeah, it was kind of, you know, and of course they don't go into detail about what size he's talking about or anything like that. You know, he just went on, you know, and they don't do that with any of their advice. You know, just kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, here's what we're doing, and this guy should go, and this is where that guy should go, and it's like, yeah, but what, you know, what size league are you talking about here? So, you know, that's always the tough part when you're listening, especially for guys like us, you know, because our league is so big and so deep, you know, like the sleepers they talk about. You know, they're not sleepers in our league. These guys are going to get drafted. So.
No, I know. I mean, is everyone going to be drafted in our league? Except for Antonio Brown.
Yeah. You know, because I know they're doing, they have their big draft coming up. They're going to do it, you know, on air. You know, but I don't know how many people are in it. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, are you guys doing 10? You doing 8? You doing 12? You know, you didn't answer a boatload of questions there with it. So. But, yeah, that's why I don't. You know, I don't invest a lot in what they say, or, you know, even watch of it. Like, I watch very little of it. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a cute idea. You know, it's like, oh, okay, we'll do 24 hours of fantasy and this kind of thing. But, you know, when you get right down to it, it's not a, you know, not anything that, you know, is really going to help, you know, a fantasy player. So, did you watch any of it, or I'm willing to know what's going on?
I don't watch ESPN much. Monday night. You should know this already.
Yeah, well, I think the only reason I actually even ended up hearing of the fact that they had the baseball game on last night, so I clicked on to see who was playing and what the score was, and you know I ended up on the wrong station, so. So yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I guess you gotta find help somewhere else when you're looking for it. So what kind of help can you give people here?
I've never won in football or placed in the playoffs, so I can give no help whatsoever.
So let's see, and then you know, while we're on football, so no real. Now we mentioned yesterday that Antonio Brown lost his grievance, and no surprise at all, he showed up at Raider camp, but he didn't retire. What a shock, huh?
So he doesn't stand by his word.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think either of us are surprised by the fact that he didn't retire, are we?
No, not at all.
So. I thought it was kind of humorous, and I guess we can get back to talking about his now, that, you know, his helmet.
Now, I mean, not going over to the Raiders, though, with the quarterback, and maybe not having, well, even if they had Marshawn Lynch, do you think it's going to be a better opportunity for him as opposed to Pittsburgh, where, you know, James Conner pretty much ran it last year?
No, it's probably going to be a nightmare, you know, because I don't think they're going to be a very good team. So, you know, the more they lose, just the bigger diva he's going to end up being. So, You know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how he is. I mean, you know, you got to remember, he was at Pittsburgh, and they won. They were winning games, and he still cried. He basically cried his way out of there. So imagine what he's going to be like on a bad team. You know, I mean, he'll, you know, the focus will become Antonio Brown and not the Raiders. You know, that's never good for a team. You know, that's the last team any team wants, anything wants, or to be about, you know, one single player. But that's, you know, that's exactly what it's going to become. You know, and I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see how it affects Derek Carr, who was kind of, you know, he was kind of, at one point in time, he was an up and coming quarterback. Now, I don't know what you would describe him as. I don't think he's up and coming anymore. You know, he's just kind of a middle of the road quarterback. You know, they've got a rookie running back who's going to get most of the carries, so they're really going to rely on Antonio Brown. I did see somebody project him for 99 catches, 1,200 yards, and like 9 touchdowns, which would actually be a pretty good season, but I don't know if he's going to get to that. So are you in the first round if you're back there at 20 looking for a pick? Are you taking Antonio Brown?
No. I thought you were going to say quarterback. I was going to say, well, you're not drafting those for the 10th round.
You know. So, and then, you know, a little other wide receiver news. I don't know if this one. You know, Golden Tate lost the appeal on his 4-game suspension. So he'll miss the first 4 games of the year with the Giants. You know, the humorous thing about his, Dan, was, you know, he claimed that he failed the drug test because he was taking fertility pills.
Yeah.
So that did not work out for him. As he will have to sit out the first 4 games. Hopefully it helped him and his wife out. I don't know. So...
Well, I mean, like we discussed, the NFL doesn't really start until week 5 anyway.
So, yeah, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, let's face it, the Giants aren't exactly going to be contenders either. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it looks like they might be improved a little from last year, but they're, you know, they're not going to be improved enough, I think, to compete, you know, in that division. So I, you know, we'll see. But, you know, while we're in that division, you know, I think we talked yesterday, you know, Dak Prescott turned down $30 million a year. And apparently last night he also turned down $40 million a year. So I don't know what the going rate is for quarterbacks, Dan, but man, Dak Prescott's getting $40 million a year. Something's wrong. He what?
I think that is official.
So yeah, I mean, we're looking at a quarterback who, you know, really isn't that good. I mean, he's never going to be the guy to carry the team, and it'll be interesting if Ezekiel Elliott actually does hold out while the regular season is going on. It'll be interesting if Prescott can hold down the fort, you know, as they try to, you know, because they would have to be more of a passing offense. And I don't see that being good to him. but, you know, we see what they work out. I know I heard Tony Romo was talking about how Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper will all get paid by the Cowboys. My guess would be then they would not be allowed to sign any other player. They would just have to play three guys both ways, because it would probably be over the salary cap with just those three guys. But, you know, I could be wrong there. We'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, it's just – it's just nuts. So, but we, you know, we'll see. We're, you know, we're getting closer, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, what else is going on? I thought this was kind of humorous, Dan, and this really didn't last very long, but it's being reported that tomorrow Nathan Eovaldi returns to the Red Sox starting rotation. Dan, I'm going to double check here while we're talking, but I don't believe he picked up a save as he was anointed in the closer role. So that's kind of what you want the closer to do, isn't it?
Get saves? Well, he wants to get wins to be the starter.
Yeah, as I'm looking here, he's got he's got one. What the hell was a starter? Was that a relief appearance? He only lasted 2/3 of an inning, but I think that was a start. So he had 7 relief appearances. He had 3 holds on the main hit. So that was a, I don't even know how to put it. I didn't think it was a very good idea. I'm trying to remember if you were in agreement or if you really liked the idea, but it obviously ended poorly, and now he can take what was a bad year as a starter back into the rotation.
I don't know. Do they try to use him for opener bait?
Yeah, maybe that's the maybe that needs to be the plan, right? They need to plug him in as the opener. They did say they expect him to throw about 55 pitches. So, you know, unless he's really on and he's really rolling, he's only going 2 or 3 innings. But yeah, I thought that was one of the more humorous things I saw, because, you know, like I said, I really hated the move when they made it. I thought it was stupid. And yeah, just the fact that he had no saves in the time that he was allegedly brought in as the closer makes it even funnier. And it actually is kind of typical of the Red Sox season, you know, with the way things have gone, and it's just an embarrassingly lost season for them.
I mean, we're going to be roughly 8 or 9 games behind Tampa, which Tampa shouldn't even be where they are.
Yeah.
They're coming off a World Series. Kind of embarrassing.
yeah, you know, I just, again, it's just, you know, it's turned, the Red Sox have basically just turned into a laughable situation this year. So, there, you know, there's no, you know, I don't even know what other way to look at it. I mean, they went from, you know, World Series champs to a, you know, a team that clearly had no idea what it was doing in the offseason. But then it turned out they just didn't want to spend any money. You know, it was all about being cheap and staying under the luxury tax, which, like we went over yesterday, they put themselves there. Nobody else did it. So,
yeah, well, and it's interesting when you look at the wild card race, because Cleveland has taken over the number one spot again. But, you know, them and Minnesota are kind of battling it out. But Boston's 8.5 games behind Tampa. So that second spot,
yeah,
where Oakland's only 2 games out. And granted, we have, what, roughly 1.5 in baseball. 120. There's 42 games left.
Yeah.
Approximately.
So.
And, you know, can't make up the rest. And, I just thought it was funny that they kind of were under the impression that Cleveland was giving up and thrown in the towel, and somehow they're in first place.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I did want to talk to you about them. I'm thinking maybe this is the new way to run your organization. You make everybody think that you're not trying to compete. You know, because, I mean, you know, we went, you know, Cleveland went the whole offseason trying to deal salary. You know, I mean, they were trying to dump guys right and left. You know, they finally, you know, in the end, they finally end up moving Trevor Bauer. And now all of a sudden, yeah, they're 8 for their last 10. They went past Minnesota. I mean, granted, they're only a half a game ahead in the race, so it's not over. But, you know, it's just nuts. The front office just, they didn't want to win, and they're winning, and it looks like, you know, like you said, there's 40, a little over 40 games left. It looks like they're going to end up with either a division title or a wild card spot, and it's just nuts when you think about it.
Oh, and you flip it over to the NL, and, you know, the team that everyone thought was thrown in the towel also was the Mets, and they're only a game out. Granted, they're only a game ahead of Philly, but they're a game out. And this is a team that trade deadline, everyone was talking about how they need to let go of basically their entire pitching staff and start all over.
Yeah, remember, they were supposed to trade Noah Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler and move on. So,
and then oddly, we looked at it and we're like, you know, they're a 10 game run from making the playoffs.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and then instead of, you know, adding to practice, they added. No, I mean, I really think it helped them, you know, moving Jason Vargas. He didn't have much luck there. I know he's pitched better in Philadelphia. We'll see how he does tonight. Mm-hmm. He's pitching against the Cubs. That game in, but yeah, he's, you know, he just didn't have any luck in it. Sometimes that happens with guys. They get to a for whatever reason, it just never worked out. But, you know, to add Stroman like they did was just huge. And, you know, I know, again, it was something else you and I talked about. I mean, everybody said they only did this because of the schedule. Well, you know, they're out of that schedule now, and they're still hanging around. So it's not like they went right back to losing after they got done playing the Pittsburghs and the Miamis and the teams like that they were going up against. So, you know, I don't know what the next excuse is on why they're not going to win, but I'm sure somebody will come up with something. And I did hear, you'll get a kick out of this. Do you know why the Phillies aren't in the playoffs right now, man?
Oh,
Huh? You got any ideas? I heard the main reason today.
No clue. I should have.
Because Andrew McCutchen got hurt. So, you know, it was kind of weird because they were like, well, once he got hurt, they didn't have a leadoff hitter. Now, of course, you and I know Andrew McCutchen isn't a prototypical leadoff hitter. They also have Gene Segura, who kind of is a prototypical leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, they've had, you know, I think Bryce Harper's led off the last few games. And like somebody mentioned that in tonight's game, the Phillies are playing the Cubs. Harper leading off for the Phillies and Hayward leading off for the Cubs. There's about $550 million worth of contract in the leadoff spot. So,
hey, that's how you got to do it, right?
I guess.
You're telling me the fact that this $25, $30 million a year player that's only hitting .250 doesn't play any part into why they're not in the first place?
No, not according to the guys I was listening to on the MLB Network. It all has to do with McCutchen getting injured and the disruption it caused in the Phillies lineup by not having him at the top of the order to be the catalyst. That was the issue all along right there.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's looking to me, he might finish the season with a .250 between the .245 and .250, .260. Barely going to hit 30 home runs, you think, and maybe 103 RBI.
Yeah, well, you know, if he's in the leadoff spot, they're going to come down there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't scream. Well, no, I've seen that they've been pitching or batting the pitcher eight.
Yeah.
So his RBI.
Yeah, why not?
So the ninth batter is the leadoff.
Yeah, they've had some really interesting lineup configurations, and tonight's another one. You know, Harper's at the top again. Then they're going with Rhys Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Gene Segura is the cleanup guy. Then it's Scott Kingery, Corey Dixon, Cesar Hernandez, Roman Quinn. And the pitcher is in the eighth spot tonight, or the ninth spot tonight for Philadelphia. So, yeah, it's, you know, and I know they just hired a new hitting coach. So maybe, you know, maybe that'll help. Charlie Manuel's coming back to be the hitting coach. But yeah, I don't get it. you can't tell me you can't find guys to get on base in front of Harper and Hoskins. But to be fair, Hoskins has stunk since the All-Star break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. When you have a guy like Segura batting cleanup. And the way the league is, does that term even count anymore? Matter? Or useful?
Yeah, you know, I guess the more you look at it, you can even say cleanup hitter. I mean, I'm not even sure if there is a real cleanup hitter in baseball anymore. It's just the humor out of all the players, he has the highest batting average. He only has 7 steals. He's normally a better stolen base guy than that, but maybe they're not letting him run. You know, he seems, you know, you would use him or Kingery at the top of the order to replace McCutchen, but they didn't seem to go that way. I mean, I think I would want guys on in front of Harper, Hoskins, and Realmuto, but apparently Harper's supposed to get on in front of Hoskins, and Hoskins is supposed to get on in front of Realmuto.
No.
You know, it looks like we got a storm rolling in here, Dan. I can hear the thunder, so don't be surprised if the podcast is over in about 5 minutes. So,
you know, I've got a few minutes down here.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's just kind of – yeah, it was just kind of odd listening to you know, how they laid just so much on McCutcheon's injury. And, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, he was hitting 256, but he had walked 43. So he was doing his job at the top of the order. Again, even though he's not a prototypical leadoff hitter, you know, he adjusted really nicely to that. But I, you know, to kind of look at it and just be like, oh, yeah, well, this is what happened. I, you know, I'm not buying that at all.
No, I am not either. And, you know, Jack, I'm trying to find the era because we went from the quote-unquote steroid era into back to regular baseball. But when did we have the era? Refer to it as the Sabre era, where steals don't matter, getting on base doesn't matter, strikeouts don't matter, and the cleanup hitter is gone.
Yeah, the only thing that matters is home run. So
yeah.
No, yeah, no. But yeah, you know, and I mean, even. You know, you look even more into the Phillies, and, you know, Aaron Nola has had a solid year. He hasn't had a great year, but he's had a solid year. The rest of the rotation is really struggling. I know Jake Arrieta's pitching hurt, but he's still got a 4.64 ERA. So, you know, and then you kind of go through, you know, Zach Eflin's at 4.49. Good old Nick Pivetta, who was in the rotation for a while, is at 5.36. You know, Vincent Velasquez is at 4.30. Jared Eichhoff, who spent some time in the rotation, is 5.71. So, you know, maybe hitting isn't entirely the problem.
Yeah, well, and I mean, they still do ERA. Is ERA still based on 9 innings? How do we do ERA again, or is it just
earned runs times divided by innings pitched?
Oh, by their innings pitched.
Yeah. So.
No, but I mean, average, and maybe I'm wrong with the Phillies. I don't know how deep they're going, but today's pitcher is lucky to go 6 full innings, and the majority of them seem to only go maybe 4 1/3. If you're lucky, 5 1/3. But you're looking at 4 pitchers who are basically averaging giving up a run every time they step to the mound.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, the sad part
except
is
for maybe the third
is better with his ERA is 4.76. You know, they had some luck with Drew Smyly, who made 4 starts, and his ERA is 3.80. But I thought I had read that they had designated him, but I don't think so. It looks like he's still active. So, you know, and I know they ran through a lot of bullpen issues. You know, I get it. David Robertson was supposed to be their closer, and he's pitched 7 games, you know, so that hasn't helped. And, you know, Adam Morgan looked like he finally found a home as a setup guy, and he's hurt. And then the guy who pulls for him at the end of last year, that Sir Anthony Dominguez, got hurt. So their bullpen really took a beating. I mean, you throw Pat Nemechek, Tommy Hunter on the DL as well, or the IL, excuse me. And, you know, that's a really roughed up bullpen. But, again, that, you know, that's how baseball goes. I mean, all we got to do is look at the Yankees to – about injuries.
And they're still buying it. Or wait, I mean doing it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're, you know, they'll figure it out or if this just, you know, going to be what, you know, everybody thought was going to be here for the Phillies. It's just going to be disappointing. But yeah, you know, I mean, I know they're, you know, they're still around, but I don't know. You think they find a way to sneak in, or you think they go the other way?
I don't see it. I don't know. I don't see them sneaking in. I see the Mets sneaking in before they sneak in.
So yeah, and then, you know, kind of sneaking in. You know, the Brewers are getting Christian Yelich back tonight after five games off. So that's a huge deal. You know, they're hanging around too. Do you think his return is enough to get them rolling again?
I think it'll help, but you know, they didn't really do a whole lot at the trade deadline to shore up the pitch. So I think they might hang around a little bit, but if they're not careful, they're also going to get taken over by the Mets.
Yeah. Did you happen to see their pitcher last night? They played Adrian Hauser, and he had a play. I think it was in the first inning. He botched a ground ball back to him and went behind the mound and threw up. It was like, that's nice. Jeez.
Well, at least he got the nerves out right away, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I guess apparently this is the second time that this has happened to him. So I'm just kind of guessing that something, you know, something's kind of going on. But I wanted to ask about this. I don't think we got to this one yesterday. Surprisingly, I must have just forgot to bring it up to you. But did you see Joe Maddon's comments from over the weekend where he believes that he'll be back next year and the Cubs are going to keep the team together for a few more years?
I didn't know he – I think I saw something about it. I didn't really read it because an old friend of the show keeps posting about it, and everyone seems to post about Joe Maddon sticking around forever. I don't see it, but maybe obviously he works there and he knows maybe some more than we do.
So, yeah, I was, you know, kind of.
I mean, if
know,
anything,
kind,
he's
kind
only.
Of,
if he gets anything, it's going to be 2 or 3 years. Because, in, you know, the third year of that contract, pretty much everyone's up in the air. That they're going to have to renegotiate for everybody. So, not to say that he won't fit in with that, but, you know, if he does stick around, it'll be 3 more years. What year is this? 20? No, I think maybe they would go with 2. I would go with 2. If, you know, if I, that were the decision to make, it would be 2 more years and then reevaluate after they decide to. Who they're not going to sign in 2022.
Yeah. They've got some really big decisions coming up. So it will be interesting to see which way they, you know, they go with it. But,
you know, this will be the real test for Theo. After, you know, with this term of his contract, because there's no longer – baseball's pretty much taken away all the – I wouldn't call them loopholes, but they're kind of loopholes that he's used to kind of get the players he's wanted through, you know, from Boston to Chicago. And all that stuff is gone now.
Yeah.
So can he do it – you know, can he continue to produce? And, I mean, his track record – he doesn't really have one in a situation where he doesn't have a whole lot of advantages given to him by being the smartest guy in the room. But I'll
no,
be back
you
in
know,
a couple.
I mean, when you, yeah, you know, when you start to look at it, I mean, the Cubs really haven't developed anybody under Theo Epstein. You know, I mean, he hit with the big draft picks right away.
Hello.
Chris Bryant was in the pick. You know, and, you know, Kyle Schwarber, you know, he got off to the nice start, but he's leveled off really bad. I mean, he hasn't been the player
that
he was promised. You know, Ian Happ looks more and more like a flaw. So, you know, we'll have to see if they can work it out, or, you know, if this is just going to, you know, going to kind of be the way it goes. But, yeah, you know, they're slowly but surely they are going to have to find ways to replace somebody. You know, like, you know, we've been over it a couple times. You know, they're just, you know, number-wise, they're not going to be able to keep all those guys. So, you know, they'll have to figure something out. And, again, you know, I mean, their developmental prowess doesn't really jump out at you for anything. I mean, I know the God, I'm drawing a blank on his name here. Robel Garcia came up and he started off hot, but in the end, he ended up hitting 220. You know, but the downside there is he's 26. So, you know, I don't know if that's the point where you can even consider him developmental anymore. You know, I really don't know. I know there's been there's been some talk. The pitcher they have who's done pretty well, I believe it's Dwayne Underwood. Maybe he'll be a guy they can add into the rotation. You know, it's one of these things that they're not fantastic at. You know, they don't have a ton of luck developing, especially pitchers. I don't know what the catch is there or how that works out for them, but, you know, they really, really scuffle with that. And I know, you know, everybody's kind of like, well, look at Kyle Hendricks. Got to remember, Kyle Hendricks spent like 1 year in the Cubs minor leagues before he came up. So you can't really count him as the Cubs developing him. But, yeah, I was looking. I thought Dwayne Underwood was in Triple A this year. I wanted to see if he had some decent numbers. Yeah. Well, he's maybe I was wrong here. 2-6 with a 5.09 ERA. He's only made 10 starts. They seem to be using him out of the bullpen. But they do have a guy, Colin Ray, here has pitched pretty well. 12-3 with a 3.50 ERA. In 23 starts at AAA, so maybe he'll be a guy they can look to as a developmental guy, possibly. Maybe he'll work out into something. I don't know much about him. Let me see how if I can see how old he is and stuff here. July 1st, 1990. So that makes him 29. Of course, you know, they do develop a little later, so, you know, it's possible for him to, you know, to roll out. Maybe he'll be some, you know, hopefully next year.
Not frozen.
But, yeah, not a hanging around in the Cup system. So, you know, there's just a lot of tough decisions that Theo's going to have to make. And of course, you know, they start right now in the off season with, do you bring Joe Maddon back? So,
well, and you brought up Dwayne Underwood. Isn't he really the only pitcher that they've drafted? Because the other guys pitching today for the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean they've drafted some guys, but it just really hasn't worked out. So, you know, I want to check Double A here, see if they have anybody who happens to be dominating, and or at least pitching well. There's Corey Abbott, who's been solid. He's logged 124 innings. He is 6-8, but his ERA is 3.56. Tyson Miller's only had 88 innings, but he's got a 2.56 ERA and 15 starts. So, you know, maybe a couple guys to peek at Double A, but of course Double A means they're a little farther away. So, yeah, it's just something, for whatever reason, that the Cubs don't do well. So, you know, and you, who knows why?
They need Charlie Manuel, that's why.
Yeah, they need something. They need somebody. You know, they need the minor league system that Tampa Bay has, because they always seem to develop guys.
Well, wasn't that the whole kind of thing behind bringing in Joe's old buddy who quit after a year?
No, he was supposed to save the pitching staff.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
He was the great pitching guru that was going to come in and, you know, make Tyler Chatwood a Cy Young Award winner. And, you know, he was going to take care of all that stuff for everybody because he had done so well in Tampa Bay. And, you know, he gets to Chicago and he's an embarrassment and ends up leaving after a season. So.
And the season where Lester and Hendricks looked worse than they did the previous year.
Right. So. You know, just ridiculous. But I did see something, you know, I wanted to ask you about here. And, you know, it kind of goes into how the media gets kind of fixated on things. They've now decided that the guy from the Astros, I'm trying to remember his first name, his last name's Alvarez, I think it's Giordano. They've decided that even though he's only played 46 games, Dan, he is AL Rookie of the Year. He's got 17 home runs. He is hitting .355. So he is one of the better, you know, better hitting rookies. You know, I guess he's still got, you know, he can still play 40 games, so he can get to the 100 mark. But has he played enough games? I mean, for, you know, and it's almost like a Mike Trout situation. They're just like, yeah, okay, here, this guy gets the award.
Well, I mean, there's always that. But, you know, the other side of it is, and which I totally forgot what the numbers were, you and I looked into it, and the minimum requirements were definitely not as high as either one of us thought. So, sadly, I think he is already in.
Yeah, see, because what I'm wondering is, with the way Bo Bichette started off, if he gets to his rookie qualifiers, does he all of a sudden move to the front of the class? You know, I know he doesn't have the power Alvarez has, and I know the media likes to jerk off about the home runs. That's what they do when they're in their living room. You know, they watch guys homer and do that. But, you know, Bichette's probably a better overall hitter, and he plays a tougher defensive position at shortstop. Not that I don't think anybody would ever factor that in. You know, it, like I said, if he gets to the qualifiers, do we have a competition?
I think we definitely have a competition.
So, you know, because I do find it interesting that, you know, they just kind of, you know, I guess Vlad Jr. didn't hit enough home runs because he's only got 13, even though he is hitting .276 and he's having a really good year for a rookie. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of humorous how they, you know, they just kind of write these guys off because the power numbers weren't what they thought. So, even though Eloy Jimenez does lead all American League rookies with home runs at 19, you don't hear them talking a pin because his average isn't high enough. So,
Yeah,
but yeah, I just
again,
I think
his average may not be
ridiculous.
High enough. His average may not be high enough, but then we're going to completely jock Bryce Harper, who I'm sorry,
right,
25, 30,
yeah.
Whatever the hell he's getting paid this year, his batting average should be 299 to 330, 250.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is interesting how you know what's good for one player isn't good for the other player. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. So, you know, and you know, I mean, let's you know, let's face it. At first in the American League, it looked like Brandon Lau was going to run away with the award, and then he got injured. So, you know, that was kind of the end of that. Otherwise, I don't even think they would be having a discussion. But the MLB site took a poll, and out of 42 first-place votes, Alvarez got 40. The other two went to John Means of the Orioles. So, there you go. You know, in the National League, they're, right now it's Pete Alonso. This race is actually close. He got 19 first-place votes, but Fernando Tatis got 21, finished second in their voting, and Mike Soroka got 4 first-place votes. So, you know, at least we got a race in the National League. You know, again, they're going to vote power, so Alonso will probably win it, even though I think Tatis deserves it. But, you know, home runs are king, and that's how they're gonna go at it regardless.
Well, and don't forget the San Diego factor.
Yeah, where you're out there in the middle of nowhere and nobody talks about you.
So, exactly.
You know. But, yeah, you know, slowly they look like they're building a pretty good team. You know, so, you know, who knows? Maybe in a year or two we'll have to talk about them.
You know, like you said, the trends shift.
I wanted to see. Yeah, and, you know, Machado is having a better year than Harper. 265 is a little disappointing at the plate, though, for, you know, a guy making his kind of money.
Yeah.
So.
You know, and if, I mean, isn't that kind of, I mean, you know, obviously numbers can change from year to year, season to season. But when Rick Hahn looks back on it and, you know, in 5-6 years and people, you know, still are bringing up that damn question about the contract that he offered Machado, isn't he just going to be justified?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it looked like it. So, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of that way. I mean, it was something, you know, like I was under the belief that it was probably a year too early for the White Sox to jump in now. But, you know, it was the only time they were going to be available. So if they were going to do it,
yeah,
they had to do it.
No, and I think I like that, you know, it's what you talked about yesterday, which, like you said, is never going to happen. You know, having more of a performance-based contract, which obviously that there wasn't like a minimum base. Well, there was, but, you know, not as low as you put it. This was definitely a performance-based contract that they offered him. And, you know, he just, you know, is it a matter of, do you not want to put in the work or do you not believe in yourself?
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, I mean, I would, you know, like, I don't know if, you know, some guys would find that insulting, you know, that they would kind of have to earn that, but I, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I think you're right in the fact that it can be insulting, but at the same token, you know, not that his performance killed it completely, but the guy who played in the World Series for the Dodgers didn't make any impact whatsoever.
No. No, not at all. So
you know, if he would have done what he was supposed to do, I mean, they could have won because of him. And I'm not going to put it all on him saying that they lost because of him. But with his talent going into there, they could have won that World Series simply because of him. But he choked. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's the kind of player that should and can carry a team. And, you know, when it comes to playoff time, that's when you need to do it. You need to be that guy. And he wasn't that guy. So,
you know, because I think you called me out on it early in the season about the numbers that he was putting together. I was like, whatever. You know, so-and-so's better, so-and-so's better. And you're like, no, you know, look at it. And, you know, we, of course, pegged him to go to L.A. simply because Seager got hurt. So we thought it was a perfect fit for a rental player for the year. And, I mean, I was all in, like, hey, man, the Dodgers are going to win this year. They're going to win it. Finally, after, you know, since 2015 or 13, whenever, you know, Stan came out with, we don't need a five-year plan. They're finally going to win it. And then, what did he go, one for whatever?
Did he even get a hit? I don't even remember. Just one of those, one of those things that did not go his way, you know. And then he had the incident, you know, run into first base. Was that in the World Series?
No, that was against Milwaukee.
Okay, so, but that one's still kind of weird.
Yeah, and you know that was a dirty play. Whatever. You get called out on it. It was a dirty play. It was a dirty move. But he didn't turn it around in the World Series for everyone to kind of forget. Well, I forgot about it, but, you know, to kind of be the hero as opposed to the villain.
I actually need to look here. Here, I had to find it. He hit 182 in the World Series. He was 4-for-22.
No RBIs, no home, right? No runs.
He actually scored 2 runs and drove in 3.
Oh, wow.
But that was coming off against Milwaukee where he hit 296. Mm-hmm. So he took a big tank when it came to Boston. He didn't do well against Atlanta. He only hit 176, but he didn't hit 2 bombs. But, yeah, his World Series numbers were just in the toilet. So, you know, you definitely need, you know, I mean, just imagine the money he would have got if he'd had a great World Series and been the World Series MVP.
Well, and, you know, to throw it out there as we run out of time, do you think the big stage got to him?
You know, you have to wonder. You know, I mean, that's a good question, and maybe something we'll have to talk about tomorrow. Coming back tomorrow, it's probably going to be done again. I get what to do while we're going to
Sportsman Radio.com.